So welcome to Office Hours. This is the half hour segment where I answer questions from chat and everyone else that questions appear. We have one question waiting, so I'll go ahead and just jump straight into that. We are recording, yep, so you'll hear it on the recording. So Svekin asks, is there a way to merge changes between two worlds? For example, I have version 1 and I publish it, but I want to work on version 1.1 over a few weeks, so I save a copy of that world to work on once done. Is it possible to merge those changes back into the published world? Yes and no. There's no way to like merge it at like the world level, so there's no UI for that, there's no feature for that that can happen. But if you do a good practice, which is where everything in a world is parented to a slot other than root, then you can go ahead and just transfer that slot between the worlds, and that will allow you to sort of merge those changes in. Version management on worlds is something that we need to do a lot more work on as a team at NEAS to make it a lot easier to figure out. I am plagued by people doing that in a way that doesn't really make sense to me. So when I make a world, I have one world, and if I publish it and I break it, I'll just fix it. So I don't maintain multiple versions of worlds. Additionally, I practice something which I really wish many, many, many more people would practice, which is you don't need to save the world if you're just saving bits of it. So example here being, you're in a tavern world and you've edited the drink system. Just save the drink system and then replace that in the world. You don't need to save another copy of the world. And then that makes it easier. Like you just go into the published world once you're aware that your new drink system works and you replace the drinks. Stop treating the world as like, you know, a big circle and like save parts of it. Like I always have little bits of the world which I can then like load in, position, update, and it makes it a lot easier because you can just save stuff to the inventory. Like I've got one world on the go right now for some science where we're doing eye testing. So we're testing your vision and stuff like that. Really, really cool. If any players have eye-tracked headsets, by the way, do let me know. I'm keeping a list for future times. Anyway, the point being is that like there are components of that world, right? There is the system which records the data from your eye-tracked headset. There is the way to do those eye movements. So it's basically like it makes a dot move and you got to follow it with your gaze. That's a separate system. There's a system which can block one eye or the other eye, such that we're only testing the left or right eye. That's, again, separate. All those parts are separate. And if I update them, I just replace them in the world and they work because they're all separate. It helps there. Shifty's updated me saying that the world overwrite function is not working. I forgot that that button existed, but probably because it's broken, it kind of left my brain. So do take a look at that particular GitHub issue, which may help with overriding worlds and versions and stuff like that. It is 3044 for the reference on the recording there. Yeah, it's a thing. There's like an enter button. It's like a square with an arrow in it, and it can like override worlds. I forgot it existed because I've never used it because it was broken. It's weird, like... if you own a house, I guarantee, well, also if you rent, but like basically if, and maybe even if you just have a room in the house, anyway, the point being, there is something that you need to do that you haven't done for so long, you've just forgotten that it exists. If you own a house, it's usually something like cleaning the gutters, but you know, that's an example of that sort of problem that you can relate to, just forgetting about something because it's been broken for so long. No, it's not that button, or maybe it is that button, like, I'll just stop talking about that feature because evidently I don't know how it works, but I thought that's the one that did it. Anyway, there is a way to do it. Check that GitHub issue for information. That's issue 3044. Moving onwards to additional questions. Duff asks, what is Prime's preference of drink while playing Neos, and what advice would you like to share to those who are of drinking age while drinking in VR? If you have a face tracker, get a straw. I have taken to drinking tea with a straw, which is very strange, but there we go. When I first got the face tracker and strapped it to the front of my headset via various means, I was constantly just punching it in the face, and that was just, like, problematic. You know, I've learned now I need to, like, reach around it, and a straw does help with that. Generically, a straw does help when you are drinking anything in VR. I don't tend to drink alcohol these days. It's not out of any sort of preference or need or medical stuff like that. It's just, it's expensive, and I am unable to get drunk. I can, like, bathe in alcohol and still be not drunk, so there's like, no point. Does it taste better? In some cases, yes. In the majority cases, no. So there's no real point. I managed to quit soda as well. Soda is incredibly addictive, and if you are a regular soda drinker, you're probably just addicted to it, right? So I was on regular soda, of course, growing up, because that's, you know, kids and we don't really care about our health. But then when growing up, I'm like, hey, that's unhealthy. I should switch to diet. So I was on diet soda for many years. And then I realized how addictive it was when I stopped drinking it for a while, just randomly, and then went back to it. And it was gross. Like, I hadn't drunk soda in forever and I drank it again. And I'm like, this is gross. I was just sort of addicted to the random components of the soda. So yeah, usually just water and tea these days. Although I do, like, I have joined the cold coffee that everyone's like, it's cold brew. I'm like, no, I just like stir cold water into instant coffee, and like that's like cold brew as far as I'm concerned as well. That is purely for caffeine though. I will like stir cold water into coffee, instant coffee, and then just chug it. And that's how I start my day these days. I will not join the Starbucks frappe whip caramel banana sprinkles pumpy squirty sauce crew. That's just crazy. There's a meme image I can never find where it's like a two-panel comic, and it's someone holding like a really big fancy like frappe style drink, and the speech bubble says, "I'm just not me without my coffee in the morning." And then the next panel of this comic is like a breakdown of what's in the drink, and it's like less than 1% coffee. The rest of it is just like pure sugar. And so the meaning being, they're looking for the sugar, they're not looking for the caffeine. But I can't find that comic, so if anyone wants to sort of Google through that, fantastic, thank you. We don't have any other questions, hence why I'm talking about coffee and things like that. So actually, I can comment on Epic Easton, who says, "Prime, you are the funny source code man. You're supposed to know everything." I don't know anything. Everything. There are like thousands of files, and like I'm not sure like Fruits knows all of them. Of course, he can like remember them. It's like, you know, when you hear like a familiar tune and you're like, oh yeah, I have listened to that before, but I don't remember how the tune went. That's because it's not being used. The memory is kind of like fainter. So I'm quite certain there are parts of Neos which are like at the back of Fruits's head, and he won't remember as well. So it's normal to not know. Like, I found out the other day. You know the Neos launcher, like the old one, not the new one, like the old one, the one that lets you, you know, do various stuff. I'll just get a picture of it for reference. No, that took a picture of just the Neos logo at the top of it. The purple logo one, that is a good distinction, seeing as you have like four of them right now. Yeah, the purple logo one. The purple logo one, lots of people are using. You see where it says use custom bootstrap class right at the bottom there? Use custom bootstrap class isn't meant for what people are using it for. Like, what people are doing is they're checking that, and then they put in command line arguments. And this works, but it's a bug that it works. It's not meant to work. It's like, it's a bug. So the custom bootstrap text box is actually meant to provide a custom bootstrap class, which no one, to my knowledge, has done. I think Neos Classroom does it. And like one other business thing we did back in the day did it. But that's actually a way for you to, in addition to plugins, it's a way for you to customize how Neos launches. So if you do that, and there's no documentation on how to do it, so if you're interested, let me know. I'll write some documentation. But like, no one has used this feature as far as I'm aware. It will allow you to change the startup routine. So the startup routine will be like, yo, I'm gonna do this stuff. So, you know, it checks and logs you in, it fetches your avatar, does a bunch of stuff like that. With that custom bootstrap class option, you can basically say, no, don't do that. Instead, open this very specific world, load this specific avatar into this world, and do not connect in the Neos cloud. That's what you could do with that bootstrap class. It is a bug. It's a bug, right? I know you guys are using it. It will continue to work because by the time we fix it, we'll have something as an alternate there that will work, or maybe we'll just place another checkbox with it or whatever. But it is quite literally a bug. So yeah, that was just some random anecdote. Rusio, it's fine that you put the questions in here. I know it's different for this week. Rusio dropped a question in the regular chat. We're putting questions in threads, just trying that out to keep things organized. I will accept the question outside of the thread, but just keep next subsequent questions in the thread. Thank you. Let's move forwards on questions rather than talking about coffee. Although Dio recommends French press for cold brew. I used to have a French press machine. It worked on 240 volts, so I couldn't bring it here. Scary guy for asking a question. It goes in the thread. Thank you for the memes. Yeah, cool. Okay, let me just double check that we're not missing any questions before I go to the ones that are at the bottom. Okay, so we'll go for Duff's first. Duff came before Riccio, so Duff, Riccio, and then whoever types a question next. Excellent. So Duff says, what would you say, what would you say at what point would a Neos moderator take initiative disciplinary action without the use prerequisite of a moderation ticket to be inputted? I will defer to the response which Git gave at the previous moderation office hours, which I'm going to quote from memory, so please do check the notes for the official commentary from the moderation team, but that the moderation team can issue temporary restrictions which are designed to just de-escalate the situation. So that might be just a temporary public ban so people can't join public sessions, which they then are required to follow up with a ticket such that there is a record of it, where a discussion and proper ticket process will happen about maybe extending that to a longer period. So a good example there might be, hate talking about moderation things because of stuff like this, but I'll just think of an example. So let's say harassment, right? Let's say sexual harassment. So that happens. I would, as a moderator, I would issue a temporary ban, and then I would open up a ticket where we could discuss what happened next. It's important to remember that moderators are not beat cops. They're not designed to go around and police sessions. They're also not designed to get in their squad cars and, like, you know, blip up and down the road that's next to my house at like 4 a.m. with their sirens on, but not the sirens that are regular, you know, the like intense sirens they do sometimes, that like the more high-pitched ones, usually when someone's in their way. They're just like going up and down the road outside my apartment all fucking night doing that. I don't know why, but anyway, moderators are not designed to do that. Yeah, we're gonna try. I think it'll be better for like scrolling through the office hours. Sorry, we're talking about the threads for questions. Because to me, even when I scroll back, it's kind of difficult to see when one starts and one ends. There's usually a lot of messages which are around the area, you know, from the people hosting the office hours, but sometimes they're harder to miss. So maybe threads will be better. I don't know. We're just trying it. It's a request. I think it's a good idea, so we'll try it. Moving down to Riccio's question, which is next, which says, in the creator gem 4 last, we're looking for a way to produce custom curves and started checking out the Bezier curve component points in the curve tip. They seem to work by themselves, but it's also felt incomplete as there's no way to clear the gizmos beside manually deleting them. Are there any further enhancements planned for these components that you know of? No. The curve tip is actually a really old one. You can tell that just by inspecting it. You can also tell it by reading the code. Like, it's ancient. So there isn't anything planned to address that yet. I think we had, like, when I mentioned the curve tip previously to Fruks, he said that that's old and that it might be removed but replaced with functionality to do that in such a way where you could remake it as a Neos builder rather than a Neos developer. There are a bunch of sort of curvy tubey meshes that we have, and at some point I want to sort of reconcile them and put them together such that there are less. The same with like the straight line meshes as well. There's segment mesh, slot segment mesh, like line mesh. Like, there's just so many, and they're basically just like draw a line. Even the curve ones are draw a line. So it's like maybe we could like standardize them into something that made it a little bit easier to know. Especially that slot segment mesh versus segment mesh. I can never remember which one's best. One has more options than the other, and you should use the one that has more options because you're like, I don't know, maybe you need those new options. As far as like editing and stuff to do with curves, check out the Vigilabos folder. They don't really play Neos that much right now, but all of the like types of curves that you would need have editors inside that folder. You're looking for blue thick lines with like green dots on them, and you're looking for the thumbnail in their public folder. I get those out every time I want to use a tubey mesh, so I can just remind myself of which tubey meshes do which. If you'd like better functionality in the area as well, make sure that there is a GitHub open for it. Scary, yes, I could totally lock down office hours. I'm just not currently doing it. Yeah, the curve tip is really interesting. It will make a complete mess of your world, though, because each of those points, the like ones attached to the line that leads to the main point, those are called control points, by the way, is on like root. And it's just like there, and if you delete the curve, you can't. Basically, you'll spend like 5 minutes cleaning up that curve that you made, Easton. It's not fun. Same thing with the label tip. Actually, I've never really understood why the label tip doesn't create something more sensible. Like, the label tip will make two slots in your world root called label point and label content. I wish it would like be a bit more intelligent about that and make one slot called label and parent the point and the content to that. And I might actually update the label tip to do that when I can. There are a lot of tools that need to either be removed or updated such that they work. You can tell a lot of this, by the way, by going to Start New World or Create New World and choosing the Scratch Paste template. The Scratch Paste template is a holdover from the days where there was no inventory system in NEOS. When there was no inventory system in NEOS, if you didn't have the developer tool, you had to go to the Scratch Paste world to get it. And if you wanted to save something, you had to go to your cloud or local home and drop it there to save it. There didn't used to be a cloud home, by the way, so you had to save it to your local home as well. And so I remember I hear things from, you know, people that were around at that time where they were just like, yep, we would just grab everything and return it to our homes and save it there because we didn't know if we needed it and it was very difficult to get. So do be thankful that we have inventory systems now. Moving forward to the next question, Alex says, would you know if there's any reason when saving objects that they are locally compressed as LZ4, but when uploaded, they are compressed with 7-zip? There are multiple compression algorithms that we have and have support for. NEOS will pick one in a way that I don't understand when you upload stuff. I don't particularly understand why, how, or what. I also thought 7-zip's compression was similar to LZ4, with like a few modifications. I don't really remember, though. Peach, yes, you can answer any questions that you want, whatever you would like. Rusio has found a curved tip custom that makes things a little bit cleaner. There is a NEOS2B link for that. Try that. Yeah, I went Rampers talking about the LZ4 and things. Yeah, I'm not going to comment on further stuff to do with compression. I'll have to open up the code and do that. If there are no questions, I can sort of idly poke at it, but I wouldn't actually know where to go. For those who are familiar with programming and for those who are not, I'll try and explain it. There's like layers to code, and asset uploading is like the deepest part of the code. It would be the equivalent of me like opening that drawer, that one drawer that you haven't sorted out in a while, and like emptying the entire thing onto my bed and then like going through it to try to figure out where the hell that piece of code is. It's like a descent, you know, into madness. It's really great when you come out of one of those, though, because you'll remember how to get there. Visual Studio actually has this cool feature called bookmarks, which I heavily use because it just makes navigating things faster, particularly when I get questions about common stuff. So I have a bookmarker that takes me straight to the entry point for all of the NEOSBot commands, so I can get there quickly. I've got another entry point which takes me to rig classification stuff, so I can find really quickly any sort of rig-based issues, stuff like that. Now, that isn't to say that the code base is bad. That's just something that happens with a code base this big, is like sometimes you're like, yeah, that's really deep. I've got to like spend a bunch of time finding like the end of that. Like, for example, I was looking at opening worlds the other day, and there are about like 15 different ways for the code base to open a world, and they all do like various things differently. And so it was just like, okay, cool, I don't know which one I need to use. Let's take a look down at additional questions. Alex says, what's something you didn't expect the NEOS community to make but have? Honestly, I'm still dumbfounded every time I see that someone has made another multi-tool and another custom inspector. If you are considering making another custom tool, multi-tool, or a custom inspector, please make something else. Make a NEOS world where you are a cat trying to save the world from extremist broccoli who are trying to take over the world using chlorophyll. There you go. Just like make a game, make an experience. That was a completely random idea. Make things. That is one thing. Lex did say positive things. The positive things, I guess, are all the like micro tools. You know, there's a process that we want to do, and then there's a tool made that makes it easier. I did expect some of them, but like it's just getting kind of crazy how much that those are. If you mean additionally positive there, like I always go back to abandonware. Like abandonware, like if abandonware, the AMC entry, if that was on Steam for under $10, it would be really, really popular. Like, it was not going to make, like, thousands of dollars or anything like that, but, like, it would be very popular on Steam. And if it was on Steam, people like the Markipliers and the other horror game players of the world will have played it and put it on their channel as well. Like, that's how good that one felt. Next question here. Scary Guy says, what's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? Do you mean an African or European swallow? think that's the quote. Anyway, Zach says, is there a way to clear a string when a video ends? Absolutely. So depending on what you're doing with a video, all of the playback nodes work. So you could do playback position. Normalized position might be better for that one. Normalized position outputs the normalized point of a video. So 0 is the start of the video, 1 is the end of the video. So you could do when the normalized position equals 1, fire on true, clear the string. There may even be a node for when the video ends. I don't quite remember. I'm not in Neos right now, so I'm not looking at those nodes. But yeah, basically figure out if the video has stopped and then clear the string with the right node. Easy, easy, easy. We've got a question here from Kazu. It says, recently I often see logs that are running out of space when asked by beginners, but everyone says they can afford display capacity. Is there a gap between capacity display and the capacity that's actually determines a synchronization failure? Yes, those things are like delayed a little bit from each other. Particularly because if there's an active sync happening, then we're able to see how much is coming in and maybe stop it because we know that it won't fit and stuff like that. And then sometimes the space display that's on the dash is like cached or delayed based on the cloud processing the incoming assets. So those things can get out of alignment sometimes, which might be what you're seeing. Lex actually made a good comment there, which is he thought that we were talking about local space, not cloud space. So Kazu, maybe if you could clarify, or just direct message me later and we'll take a look at it. Particularly if you've got the log file that was causing the problem, I can just double check which one of those are. Moving forwards, Peach has a question. What is the possibility, difficulty of integrating programs, plugins, things into Neos? Particularly, I was about to ask this in general regarding to playing Flash games in virtual arcades. Okay, so Flash is dead. I know that that's sad. There are ways to play Flash games that exist. There's like a browser. I can't even remember the name of it. What that thing, I can't remember the name of, does though, is it downloads a very old version of Firefox and then just goes, here you go, Flash works. That's what it does. It's quite cool because it lets you sort of relive the 90s, but Flash games inside Neos wouldn't be a thing that would probably support. Now, you're welcome to do that with plugins or mods. It'll probably have to be a plugin for Flash, but that would be quite an undertaking. Yes, Linker, you want to make Neos Plus run Flash files? Go for it. It'll be out next Tuesday, right? We are looking into WebAssembly later. There's a GitHub issue for it, which would allow you to run things in that range a little bit, but not Flash itself. Integrating stuff is basically a mix of, are you okay waiting? In which case, hey, Neos will do it. And if it's compatible with Neos's ethos, development strategy, etc., great. But you'll have to wait. Then there is plugins, which is you can do whatever you want in a plugin. You can do whatever you want. You could probably get like a Windows emulator into Neos with a plugin. That would be very difficult to do, but you can probably do it. So you can probably do Flash if you would like to, but it would have to be a plugin. Let's take a look down at the next question. Zach says, why does it take so long to sync a large file? Well, I don't know what sort of magnitude we're talking at here. If you're talking about like a gigabyte, then it's a gigabyte. That's why it takes a long time. Larger files are large. Sorry, I'd completely lost my train of thought. Large files are large. That's why it takes so long. Give you some more details and I'll see what it is. Like if you said it was taking like 3 hours to sync 500 megabytes, that's a problem. We could look at that. But if it's like it takes a long time to sync 1 gigabyte, it's like, it does. Mr. Square Pig. No, Square Peg, sorry. Confused there. Will the Pico 4 work with Neos? I have one on order. As with all gadgets and headsets, the only way that those can work is with a Neos update. And if we, as in the Neos team, have a development unit or sufficiently documented developer documentation from the manufacturer. I get the question about other headsets like every single week. It's like, will you support this unannounced headset that some person found in a hotel room and leaked online? Not until it's public, no. And then when it is public, we'll figure out if we can. But yeah, it needs work to be done. There are, again, the modding community have made certain weirder headsets done, so if you don't want to wait for us, that might be an opportunity. Moving down to Arisius for live streaming video into Neos. I've experimented using HLS, RTMP, and other protocols, desperately try and get video and audio to sync on a live stream, but all it takes is one avatar to load, and someone says the audio and video are out of sync. Do you have any suggestions on what could be done to try and keep the audio and video synced. I can't remember how we did it in a world, but there's like a property like on the video player now called like playback error sync, something like that. That one is local, I believe. And what we did was we hooked up that and some sort of comparison. I really can't remember. I'm pulling stuff out of like the bowels of my memory here. We hooked that up locally to like a fire on true, which would then pause the video temporarily, wait like a couple of updates, and then play it again. And that seemed to resync things automatically. Of course, it was incredibly frustrating because like if anyone was out of sync, it would pause it. But we only had it happen like two or three times during a video that we were watching, so it was okay. Another time it happened like every 5 seconds and we just turned it off, but that might be something to look at. Kazu says, local storage, not cloud one. Let me scroll back up to your question, Kazu. Obviously, no looks like running out of spaces. So do make sure that they are looking at the drive which stores that particular type of data. So if... Which question did I read around, Alex? Scrolling around. Local storage. Oh, not local storage. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right, cool. I'll just skip that question. We'll move on. Thank you. Okay. Zach says it stays at 0.0% for 15 plus minutes. That is a stuck sync, which means you need to post a log file and questions and help one will take a look at it for you. It could be any number of things until I see that log file. The number one friendly thing you can do when you encounter a problem, by the way, is to provide enough information. Like people say, something went wrong. And I'm like, what went wrong? What were you trying to do? Just think about how much more information could you give us such that we don't have to ask you any more questions. We can just fix your issue. So start with log files, start with a complete description of what you are doing, start with any information that you have. That's why the bug report form on the GitHub is so long and, you know, so long. It's like, so we can get all the information. Let's scroll up and down, look for more questions. Ozzy says, what is Neosys development ethos? I think I generally know what it is, but not exactly. We don't have it exactly written down. And to be fair, it is basically Fruxy's ethos as well. It's like... I guess I can give examples. Sometimes there's things that are like a feeling and you can't really describe them. And this is one of those cases, but there are examples which kind of help you explain it. We want to like one of the most prominent examples is one would be as backwards compatible as possible. So anytime we change something, we're like, will this like break anything in backwards compatibility? And if that's the case, then we'll figure it out. I always use this example of backwards compatibility because people see it all the time and ask me about it. If you are using the find child by name node, I think it also does it with the child by tag node, and you look at your logic, sometimes there'll be this slot that has been created and just appeared there that says injected for backwards compatibility. That one is to add an input's value to the old or default value because we swapped the default value for one of the inputs. So when we detect that your find child by name node was created before we applied this update, we invert that particular option back to the old one just in case it would break by being the new option. That's a really bad way of explaining that. Anyway, that's an example there. And then another one would be future-proofing, which is kind of like backwards compatibility. Like you'll see things like collections and stuff like that in mods and plugins around. They are great and fantastic that they're able to do that. But are they backwards compatible? Are they completely integrated with the Neos engine? Not sure. I haven't looked at the code yet. So I'm not making a judgment here. I'm just saying, are they? Like that's what we would do when we were doing those particular features. We would make sure that we thought out like end-to-end everything such that we never have to really like... redo that feature like it's done, like it's part of Neos. You'll see other examples. Basically, if you like, look at any issue that we've closed for like, no, sorry. And that is sort of the ethos. And I know it's annoying sometimes, but it's just like, that's another example where it comes up. Duff says, might have already talked about it before, but why is it the majority of the community usually stays in non-public based worlds more often than not? I talk about this in my previous office hours, so refer to the notes on that one. I will do the speech again, but I probably had a better speech last time, so check that one out. Easton says, that was an oddly specific example of someone finding a VR headset in a hotel room. That's exactly how the Quest Pro was leaked, and for about 3 office hours after that, people were like, will you support the Quest Pro? And it's like, not until... we know it actually exists. And like, yeah, we know a leak is confirming that the headset exists, but like a cardboard box in a hotel room is different than a developer platform and library and documentation and API and us having the headset in our hands to test. Cassie says, do you have any prospects for Nias to resume development? It's been 11 months since the problem happened, but I'd like to know if there's any progress. I really don't have anything to say on that one. There was some information a couple of office hours ago, but like the summary is, please just check announcements. I know it's horrible. We just, like, there's nothing really I can say except we are working as hard as we can on that. Stifle says, current clock error is the property, I think. Yeah, that's the one. So yeah, if you check current clock. I'm making horse noises. Anyway, if you check that, I think it's local, and then you can fire on true when it's above a certain threshold, pause the video and load the video again, or pause it and wait a couple of seconds, then load it again. I believe what we did to sort of counter the it kept pausing thing is we put like a little red light at the corner of the screen that turned on when someone was experiencing desync using current clock error. And then we knew that when that light had been on for like a minute, we knew it was like pretty severe desync, and then we'd have manually paused and stopped it. I just remembered that. Ramper says, log sanitizer utility when for moderation, you need a full log, but posting it in the open public, in my opinion, ain't the best thing since there are all the item IDs, user IDs, etc. So do keep in mind, and I understand that if you know, you as an individual have a different interpretation of that, that's absolutely fine. But do just keep in mind that Neos doesn't consider some data private that might be considered private. Now, these, of course, vary on individual preferences. Some of these ones I actually disagree with myself, but we don't consider usernames, user IDs, or machine IDs private data. Those ones I do agree with because the machine ID is randomly generated by us, and it really doesn't mean much. The username is your username. It's on your name badge. And the user ID is usually just your username with a U dash on the front of it. So like none of those are private. We also don't consider IP addresses private. I know that other people do. I kind of do, but like it's kind of like not a problem these days, IP addresses. I can find out which like city you live in, but I do understand that people want to strip those from logs though, so do figure that one out. I don't know if we would do log sanitizing on our part. We might when we have sort of inbuilt reporting. Like, I want inbuilt reporting for moderation purposes and for bugs and feature purposes, like send us feedback. At that point, we'd be able to sanitize it because we would be the ones getting it. And then maybe we could sanitize it automatically when we post it to the actual public repository. But the point is, like, the log file would go from your machine, from Neos, to us without, like, Discord or GitHub in the middle. And then that would be, like, less of an issue for sanitization. But yeah, someone could make a utility that does that. That would be quite helpful, actually. I know there are a few mods that do it, but like, you know, when like you need to just do a random thing to a string and you go to like randomthingtodowithastring.com and like, you do it there. Like, if I need like a Unicode character, like a font, an icon, I need to like decode, encode a string. There's like websites for all of that stuff. Like someone could make a web-based thing and it would run entirely in the browser. Could just do it with JavaScript, right? That could sanitize a log file. A bit like Envrex's material combiner website tool thing. Easton mentions that when you're reporting a bug, please disable your mods. Cannot agree with that more. I've seen so many log files where it's just like, I have no idea what's going on because there's like 50 mods in here and I don't even know what half of them do. On a note from that, do remember mods are allowed by our mod and plugin policy, but I do have a recommendation there, which is don't install all of the mods. I'm seeing a frequent number of users who just download every single mod from the Neos modding group and install them without really understanding what they do. And then when something goes wrong, it's just impossible for them to know what the problem is. Easton provides a picture of the clock error. Yep, current clock error right there. I'd have to double check Rampa with the item ID front. You said that if you know the item ID, you can spawn it. Don't think that's true. Because of various things. I think if you know the URL to the like the 7z bison, you can do it. But like if you know the ID, you can't then look up where it is. I believe that's all the questions that we have. Oh, hold on. We have Peach, who's asking, does Neos have plans for a Unity translator to make it easier for VRC users to import their creations? Yes and no. So we do have a Unity SDK. It is sort of broken, sort of not broken. The problem that we have with a Unity translator is when we use that phrasing, people think it's like ultimate, like it is the ultimate Unity translator, right? You throw any old Unity package at it and it will translate it. We can't do that because a single Unity package, while it might contain stuff that we can use, for example, the model we could use, the textures we could use, and accessories on that avatar we can use, we can't copy over any behavior. So we can't copy over the animation doodads. You know how PRC is? I don't remember the phrase. Controllers, that's the one. We can't copy over that. We can't currently copy over dynamic bones or fizz bones. Now, we could update the Unity SDK to do that, but regardless of what we add to that, there's always going to be something incredibly weird which is done that we can't translate. And so then people will get the impression that the Unity translator is just like, does everything. Yeah, this custom C-sharp script, we've transferred it to Logix for you. Like, it can't do that. So, like, I think Unity, like, better naming, a better expectation setting is needed there. But, yes, we do want to make that process easier. In some regards, though, and this is more of a personal note, I really do wish more people, when they see that we don't have that, would just try anyway. Like, I've seen people who just, like, outright will leave Neos when they see that we don't have a Unity translator. And it bothers me because I'm like, at a certain point in your life, you learned how to make a VRChat avatar. And that was challenging. And now when you're faced with a similar challenge, learning how to make an avatar in Neos, you're like, no, I don't think I will. And I don't know. Like, I just have like a sort of personal grievance against people who refuse to learn sometimes. You know, it's like, hey, you learned to tie your shoes and walk as a child. You can learn stuff if you just apply to yourself. Like anyone who says, like, I have a smooth brain, I can't learn Logix. I'm like, please apply yourself. Please ask the community. Please try learning. We'll help you out. Your brain is amazing and is not too thin. You have the ability to learn it. So I believe that's questions done. Kazu mentions that some booth items include 7Z bosons. They do. Do remember that that is on the things to avoid list because it can and will break in the future. Easton, you don't have to tie your shoes. I'm gonna DM you some videos later. Yeah, I use slip-on shoes these days. Although when I went on a vacation recently, it was actually to my parents' house in Spain, and I only had one pair of shoes with me, and it broke. And so I bought two new pairs of shoes that actually do have laces because they didn't have any of like the slip-on shoes I used over there. But yeah, I've had one pair of shoes for like 4 years, and they finally broke. I'm very frugal. Kazu says that they want to change it to a better method when that's provided. Absolutely fine, I understand. I'm just every time I see something that might break, I let you know that it might break, just so that like it stays inside your head and you keep in mind that when it breaks that we told you that it was going to break. I believe that's all the questions we have. If there are any follow-up questions, please do direct message me and I'll go ahead and close off the office hours here. Just let me know if you have any other questions. Direct message me, ping me on Discord, send me a carrier pigeon, hopefully with some treats. I'll take Haribo or cheese, that's fine. And I will see you next year. Next year? Next week! Not next year! Promise, next week!